This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That sounds atrocious. How can there be a bad scholar? How can a person who carries knowledge be described in such a descriptive manner inside the Quran?
Parables inside the Quran. And likewise, we stopped on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ad-dinun nasiha. Religion is sincere advice. The companions asked a question, liman ya Rasulullah? To whom does sincere advice belong to, or what should we be preaching towards? قَالَ لِلَّهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِأَمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَامَّتِهِمْ. Sincere advice to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call to His book, to follow the rules and regulations of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe and profess faith and follow the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise to those people who govern and rule over us, as the ulama mentioned, whether it be the scholars or the rulers over us, the advice belongs to them, and likewise to the masses of people. Thus we find that these five different categories that are mentioned inside this hadith, that everyone begins to think that they are scout-free from advice, that it shouldn't be given to them. And likewise, we find that in general, that it may sound very harsh, but we Muslims are those individuals, unfortunately, amongst us, we don't practice what we preach. This is amongst the biggest khalal that we find, or fortunately the Quran is telling us to be wary about this. Whether it be in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, you find أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do you command people with good things, with piety and righteousness, good actions, وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, and you forget your own selves, وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْنُونَ الْكِتَابَ, and you recite and you have the book in front of you, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't you comprehend and ponder and reflect about this? Because we can see in the modern world today how so many people are obsessed with other people, are obsessed with another Muslim, obsessed to find a fault of another Muslim, to find a mistake of another Muslim. And it wouldn't be so far-stretched to say that some people spend their whole life, their whole life is just searching for mistakes of people, or obsessed with trying to correct another person. That's all their life becomes. We're not saying we shouldn't correct people, but it doesn't mean it becomes your whole goal, your whole science, your whole attire, your whole life, your whole engagement with people just becomes of commanding people or telling people to do certain things or overlooking over people. Likewise, in Surah Al-Shu'ara, Allah mentioned, وَأَنَّمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ, speaks about the poets, the whole Surah 26 chapter entitled Al-Shu'ara, the poets. Then the end of the Surah speaks about these individuals. There's many good things that they say, but their excessive praise of people, their excessive poetry begins to become what? Just words. Just kalam, just speech. Just as we began with many of us Muslims, just speech. That this is what we believe in, or this is what we think should take place. That's all it is. But the daily actions of commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of us have fallen short regarding this. Allah mentioned Surah Saf, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. خطاب للمؤمنين يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون. Grave it is. Why do you say, oh believers, that which you don't do? Grave it is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. You say that which you don't carry out your own selves. That the real struggle is within oneself. That you're always worried about your own self, about your actions you're carrying out inside this life. And the more that the position that a person has, the more the authority that they have, the more responsibility it becomes. But the final stopping point is with the person of authority who gives that ruling or gives that regulation, gives that commandment, that they're all responsible. They're responsible for every single thing underneath them. That's why no one should seek authority. No one should seek governorship. No one should seek to be in a place of authority or a place of power, because the mas'uliyya, the responsibility is immense. Because at the moment, our responsibility is only for our own self. Nukhti wa nasib, we're right, we're wrong, we sin, we err, we make mistakes. I only have to answer for my own self. But when you have subjects underneath you, some people are going to have to answer for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. For many people, they're going to have to answer for, because they're being placed inside that situation. And amongst those individuals placed inside that situation are those people, not just in authority, those people who have that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all this discussion about these parables inside the Quran, that sometimes the human being doesn't relate to another human being. That's if you look at the history of parables, whether it be in the Arabic days of Jahiliyyah that we find, or looking at Greek writings of Aesop's fables, or the modern times to stories of the Brothers Grimm that we find, or hatta al-jahidh, Kitab al-Hayawan. They write these parables in relation to animals. Because sometimes a human being to another human being finds it difficult. It doesn't click in their mind the advice or what they're trying to portray. So when people profess these fables, or they profess these tales or these stories, or the moral or the lesson from the story, or these amthal, then it clicks in the mind that this is what this person is trying to teach me. And the Quran isn't far away from this, because the Quran is replete with so many amthal inside the Quran in relation towards animals, between human beings and animals, for the purpose that it may click into our mind of reflecting about our own selves. Because the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has created the human being in the ultimate form. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We gave nobility and rank to the children of Adam. We took them over the land and the ocean, and we gave the human being a marked preference over the whole of creation. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. I created the human being in the best mold, the best structure. Strange is that Allah in the same surah mentions, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then we make the same human being to become the lowest of the low. How can the ultimate creation of the human being become the best of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can become the lowest of the low? The lowest of the low, the mentions are this parable. So to equate a human being to a dog is something far-stretched for many of us. But the Quran gives that example. So it may be far-fetched for many of us, but the Quran gives the example of the human being of when will he become like a dog. When will that human being, being from the supreme creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become this wretched individual? When a person begins to follow the path of not practicing what they preach, kitmanul ilm, concealing their knowledge, tahriful ilm, changing over knowledge that Allah warns about inside the Quran, till eventually Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah highlights that the person becomes alimus su, becomes a wicked scholar, a bad scholar. Some of us may think, oh, that sounds atrocious. That sounds atrocious. That how can there be a bad scholar? How can a person who carries knowledge be described in such a descriptive manner inside the Quran? And it's there inside the Quran. Towards the end of verse 165 of Surah Al-A'raf, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to narrate the description of an individual who follows that path. What alayhim naba alladhi ataynahu ayatina. Narrate to them about this individual that we gave him our signs. Ulama of Tafsir, Ibn Kathir begins to mention whether it's Bal'am ibn Ba'ura. Other ulama begin to mention, Ibn Mas'ud mentioned that it's a Rajul min Ahli Musa. Over the time of Musa, he's sent to go out carry out a certain task. And rather than conveying the message, he was bribed by them or overtaken by them, and he went and entered into their faith and followed them. Ibn Kathir mentions that this example speaks about Umayyah ibn Abi As-Sad. But Imam Tabri mentions, don't ponder and reflect upon who this individual is. That's not important. Who the individual was who done this. That's what Allah mentioned. Narrate to them, Alladhi, the one who we gave him our signs, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed his blessings upon this individual. That's why ulama of tafsir, they mentioned, we gave him our signs. Is either the knowledge we gave this person or the evidences that were given to this individual. That's why Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah highlights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we gave this individual atainahu ayatina. Allah attributes it to himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we, our signs, we gave it to this individual. So this shows an even greater maqam, a blessing for this individual, that Allah is attributing that these signs, these evidences, this ilm, this knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهَا نِعْمَةٌ. Indeed, it's a great blessing that's been bestowed upon this individual. But this individual, فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. This individual, he abandoned the signs. He went away from the signs. تَرَكَ الْعَمَلِ. Forgave the actions, kharajam al-amal biha, forgave, gave up the actions that he's supposed to be doing inside his life. And ulama begin to mention that salakha is ikhraj shay min jildihi. The linguistic meaning of salakha is like a snake that leaves its skin. It comes out of its body, drops the skin, and comes out into a new format. That's a linguistic meaning. Anno kana mutimakkinan vahiran. He apparently looked the part of the picture. He apparently looked the part. Walakin batinan, inside, there was corruption. That's another lesson for many of us Muslims, that we see this external display. But it's the, as we began with, the internal, internalization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fear within is what makes a person a real scholar in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not fear of mankind, and not fear of people. فَأَتْبَعُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. So shaitan followed him. أَدْرَكَهُ وَحَاطَهُ. Shaitan is looking for that one slip to catch him. He's looking for that one slip for all of us, to catch all of us. Because shaitan, in the same surah Al-A'raf, he made a promise, I'm going to come sit at every location. I'm going to come from in front of them, from behind them, on the right, on the left. Every single angle, I'm going to be continuously attacking the human being. So the attacks on a normal human being are not the same attacks that take place on a person who's well-versed, are not the same attacks that take place upon a different type of individual. Shaitan has a breadth of knowledge, of knowing how to decipher and deal and tackle with every single one of us. If the person really understands the traps and the snares of the devil, then they're weak. But because most of us are weak in our own selves, we fall to the traps and the snares of shaitan. And he overcomes us and leads us away from the path of Allah. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah highlights, just like a lion waiting for its prey. Just like a lion waits for the prey at that right split second to catch the prey, shaitan is sitting and waiting there. That's why sometimes it's centuries of planning. Centuries of sitting there. Decades of instilling inside our minds and our children and our generation and our people. Don't think the attacks on the Muslim Ummah are just something today. There's decades of planning that we've been placed there to place us in the environment that we're current, that we're living in at the moment. He became one of the lost individuals, destroyed individuals. Ghaween, and why? Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned, because this individual, يَعْمَلْ بِخَلَافْ عِلْمِهِ, does the opposite of their knowledge. Doesn't do what their knowledge is telling them to do, is doing the opposite. So this individual becomes, وَيَعْمَلُونَ خِلَافِهِ فَيُصْبِحْ كَأُلَمَاءِ السُّوء. Point blank, he says it. Goes against what the action is supposed to do, so this individual becomes a bad scholar. We have these problems inside our society. And then Allah mentioned, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ. If we wanted to, we would have raised him. The one who raises and debases is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's inside Surah An-Nisa that we find other places in the Quran. Don't seek izzah. Don't seek glory from people. Do you seek it from people? when honor and glory lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where a person should seek. You shouldn't seek it from people. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَمُ الْعِزَّةِ Do you seek respect and honor and dignity from people? You seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one that raises a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that debases a person. That's Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah highlights. It's not just about possessing the knowledge. There's some of us that we may think. They're going to deeper dimensions. It's following the truth. That's real knowledge. And the impact of knowledge inside your life. And thirdly, the sincerity within yourself. That's you find out the three first people to be judged on the day of judgment. It's not going to be a person who drank alcohol, who committed shirk, who committed zina. That's not the first three people who are going to be judged. The first three people who are going to be judged, the first is going to be an alim. It's going to be a scholar. It's going to be a reciter of the Quran. It's going to be said to him, what did you do with the blessing that we bestowed upon you? The person who said, I taught the people, I gave the people their knowledge, I recited the Quran. Kadhabt, you lied. You lied. You done it so people may say you're a scholar. People may say you're a qari al-Quran, you're a reciter of the Quran. Waqad qil. This is what was said about you. This is what you wanted to hear. Dragged on his face. May Allah protect all of us into Jahannam. Then he had the two, a person who gives his wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who strove in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that can be left at a later stage. But this is the prime individual of being disgraced on that day. That's why la yuqtaru ahadun bima utiya min al-ma'arif. His works he mentioned, don't be mesmerized by a massive amount of quotations a person may claim to have. فَإِنَّ الْعِبْرَ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ The lesson is upon the ending of a person. The death of a person. The final moments of the person. That's where the ibra is. That they remain steadfast in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we mentioned, seeking recognition. You know, so we speak about revival of Islam. We speak about certain things. Read what the ulama have written about. Even though these narrations, they're questionable, but the meaning is quite explicit and true. That a scholar should be wary of the doors of the rulers. When a person enters into their doors, their mind and their heart and their perception can be persuaded, just like any one of us. Just like any one of us, they can be persuaded as well. That's why I said to them, don't be excessive in visiting these people, being with these people. Other narrations which categorically mention, even the context inside Sahih Muslim, it mentions that a person is praising a ruler, praising him. So the narrator narrates him, says to him, hadith inside Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ told us to throw dust on the face of the person, al-maddahin, people praising people excessively, throw dust on their face. There's no exception. There's no exception to the rule. If there's anybody that we should throw excessive praises to, it's to whom? The Prophet Muhammad, he didn't like that. He didn't like people to stand up for him. He didn't like people to narrate poetry about him and say these excessive words. He rebuked them, he stopped them. And that is a person who deserves all praise in a human sense. He deserves that. And all his excessive praise that we find in the world at the moment, where the Prophet ﷺ never lived that life. He lived the life that the rule is for everyone. That everyone is there. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us with Hajj, He placed that simple two sheets of white cloth so no one can make a distinction. That some try to make that distinction even today. But there is no distinction that when you're coming in that journey, you are all the same in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we all human beings are. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The only difference is in your piety. That should outshine and excel. That becomes a form of guidance towards people with the right intention, as we mentioned. Walakinna akhlada ila al-ard. But as an individual, he clung to the earth. Ad-dunya. became entrapped inside his dunya, became content with this world, went towards this dunya and the zina of this dunya. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلَّ خَطِيئَةً. Love of this world is the head of all sins. When you love this world extensively, that is the beginning of all sins. That's what ulama they speak about, excessive wealth. If a person doesn't have iman, the dangers of that wealth are so much. So much the dangers of that wealth is on a person. The fitna on themselves and the fitna on the world. If they don't have the iman in how to use that money, how to use that wealth, that their wealth spread fasad upon the earth. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا الْآخِرَةِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ. It's not they're being compelled. They love. They love to spread vice inside society. They love their wealth. They want to show their wealth. That's why Muslims are so shallow. They're saying, oh, look at the wealth and the power that we Muslims that we have today. Look at these great buildings that we have today. Look at this fast development we have today. Is that your benchmark to judge the Muslim Ummah? Is that the benchmark? That how much of the world we profess shows that we must be powerful people. That's a wrong benchmark. The benchmark is the iman of the ummah, the akhlaq of the ummah, the characteristics, the practice of the ummah is the benchmark. Companions around the Prophet, they were penniless, some of them. Barefooted individuals, barefooted Arab, Bedouin individuals ruled near enough all of this earth. That's not a myth, that's not a fable, that's a reality. How did they get so far and wide? Because why? They had that conviction. We're not living here for this world. We may come and develop it and do certain things, but the real goal is al-akhirah. It's a transcendent dunya. It just goes and it passes, it fleets away. But when you begin to place so much emphasis towards it, eventually the dunya is going to suck you in. And all of us get sucked into the dunya. Even those people who may possess that knowledge. That's why مَالَ إِلَى زِينَتِي وَآثَارِ لَذَّاتِيَ وَشَهَوَاتِيَ عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. And Imam Sa'd ibn Kathir mentions, began to incline towards his beautification and the good things of this dunya. He sort of focused it towards al-akhirah. And explicitly we find a hadith inside Kitab al-Fitan, inside the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi, that we find that race in doing action when fitan will become like a dark night. So many fitan will come. Race in doing good action. Don't become stagnant. When fitna comes, fitan comes, don't become stagnant. Race in doing more and more good deeds. Till eventually what will happen, يَبِيُّ أَحَدُهُمْ دِينَهُمْ بِعَرُدٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. In easy terms, a person will sell their soul for a bowl of rice. A person will sell their deen for a share of this dunya. Is a prophecy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In a hadith in Sunan Imam Tirmidhi in Kitab al-Fitan. That a person will sell their deen. And we can see that today. How whether it be on a minute level that some of us will sell our deen. That we don't want to show our deen. We don't want to display ourselves as a Muslim or offer my prayer or say this or say that or make a comment about Philistine at the moment. I could lose my job. Rightfully, you could lose your job. Use wisdom. We're not saying that. We're saying that rightfully do use wisdom. But sometimes you have to take a stance. Sometimes you have to say a word. Sometimes we began with that. Where all our efforts are placed upon Muslims. That we're not finding the time to highlight what is really going on in the world. We're not finding that time. That the open atrocities that are being committed in front of our eyes, we're finding difficult to open our eyes. We're finding it very difficult to recognize the atrocities. And shame is that non-Muslims at times are putting us to shame. That they're highlighting our concern, our plight, our Philistine, our land, our honor, our dignity, our children, our women. But what we can debate or ask ourselves that, where are we? Where are we from that concern? that we minimalize our concerns and we can't see the greater outer danger upon all of us. Something of food for thought for us to think about. That the onslaught is on Muslims, to harm Muslims, to demonize Muslims, and to use their own words, even to wipe out Muslims. So a person who's intelligent should be able to see that inside their lives. And they'll be able to address that inside the society. And we find a greater scale if we could see how they've abandoned the Palestinian cause. Abandoned them. People could say whatever they want to say. 6 months on, that we find tens of thousands have been killed and slaughtered and butchered and killed and plundered and looted. Mass graves are being discovered. I want to know, when will it be best to intervene? According to your understanding, tell me when it will be the right time. When will it be the right time? When 100,000 have died? 150,000 have died? 200,000 have died? Will that be the right time to intervene? According to your logistical understanding of the world that you claim to know better about everybody else. Because you find that when we speak about ulama who revived the Islamic sciences, you speak about Inquisition Imam Ahmad. He was an imam who took that stance. The whole of the Hanbali fuqaha ulama would have been dismantled. Would have been dismantled if he never took that stance on that day. Imam Malik as well, if he never took that stance, he was flogged for his stance he took at that day. Flogged. He was flogged. He couldn't raise his arms, were dislocated. He couldn't raise his hands to place them appropriately. Flogged he was for the stance he took. Why? Why did they do that? Because they don't fear people. They're worried that behind them is masses of people that if they take the wrong stance on that day, people will fall prey. People will topple. People see them as role models, as individuals who are professing the truth and should be beacons of light. We don't have the Prophet around us anymore. We don't have the companions around us. We have these people who carry the Torah. The inheritance of the prophets is al-ilm. فَمَنْ أَخَذَ مِنْهُ فَأَخَذَ مِنْ حَظٍ وَافِرٍ. Whoever takes from the treasures of Nubuwa, of prophethood, of knowledge, has taken the immense treasures. That's what these people are carrying inside their lives. And as we find, وَتَّبَى هَوَاهُ, and began to follow his desires. You know, desires that we speak about, the idols and the statues and the grave worships, and rightfully we should do. You know, one thing we don't want to speak about? The idol of our desires. The idol within ourselves. We don't want to speak about that. That's Ibn al-Jawzi wrote his famous book, Dhammul Hawa. The blame of one's desires when it overrides a person. Like he wrote his other magnanimous work, Talbis Iblis, the deception of the devil, how the devil deceives people. The Quran mentioned, Afraita man ittakhadha ilahu hawahu, wa dallahu ala ilmin. Have you not seen the one who takes his hawa, his lust and his desires as a ilah, as a deity? God doesn't just mean you take a grave and a shrine and a dead person and a living person as your authority and you follow them. Your own lust and your desires become an idol within your own cavity. They become an idol within your soul. That you haven't broken that idol within yourself. Who lets their desires override them, it becomes a deity. وَعَدَلَّ اللَّهُ عِلْمٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this individual, misguides this individual upon knowledge, rightfully so. And what does Allah begin to do? Seals their heart, their faculties are sealed. Another place of Quran Allah mentioned, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Have you seen the one who takes their lusts and their desires as their God? And you place his authority over these people. In Surah Al-Kahf, we find, وَاتَّبَى هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُ فُرُطًا. Person began to follow their desires, their actions become null and void. In following their own desires that we find, then comes the parable that Allah mentions, harsh words. فَمَثْلُوا كَمَثْلِ الْكَلْبِ إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْحَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكُ يَلْحَثْ. This parable is individuals like a dog who lolls, whose tongue is hanging out. Whether you warn him or you don't warn him, he'll remain in that state. That look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing an alim, a scholar, to a dog who's extracted his tongue, who places his nose in filthy things, eats filthy things, lives a filthy lifestyle, etc., that we find. A whole discussion, ulama tafasir begin to highlight about what his mathal is, even inside prophetic traditions that we find. Whenever the dog is mentioned, it's not mentioned in the best light. Person who takes back a gift, that a gift to a person is like a dog who eats from his own vomit. A person who keeps a dog inside the house, a person who has pictures on display, or a dog inside the house, angels don't enter into that house. Hadith inside Bukhari. Angels don't enter into a house where there's pictures on display or there's a dog inside that house. Other hadith mentioned, illa, except for a person who keeps that dog for agriculture, to take care of the land, or to keep it as some form of security outside the area, or a hunting dog. Which I can safely conclude that doesn't fall upon us today in the type of environment that we live in at the moment. That people that try to use that hadith as a justification. The spit, the saliva of the dog is impure. If it touches you, falls upon something, wash it 6 or 7 times, and then the 8th time, so wash it with turab to purify that environment. And if dust, the earth is made any form of detergent, is what the meaning is. Because why? There's impurity inside there. Not in the hair of the dog, in the actual saliva. There's impurity inside there we find. And an even stronger hadith that we find, a person who keeps a dog will lose a qirat, a mountain worth of good deeds, every single day. Hadith inside Bukhari. Person keeps a dog inside the house for unjustified, one mountain's weight of good deeds are being lost from that person on a daily basis. These harsh descriptions inside the hadith in the Quran find, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. Allah describes people with knowledge, people like donkeys with books on their back. Why such harsh wordings? All for the purpose to awaken the individual that we find. Imam Qurtubi mentions this example, عَامٌ فِي كُلِّ مَنْ أُوتِي الْقُرْآنِ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِهِ. This is for whoever has been given the Quran and doesn't implement the Quran inside their life. Likewise, he mentions, مَنْعُ تَقْلِيدِ لِعَالِمْ إِلَّا بِعَدِلَّتِهِ. It's forbidden to blind follow a scholar except to see what the evidences are. So blind following just somebody, blind following someone that this person said it, so that must be the truth because they're a religious person, because they're a knowledgeable person, because they sit in such and such a position, that's it, I'm going to follow it. Imam Qurtubi said, no, you need to know what the person is saying to you. If you're giving a da'wah, revival, Quran and Sunnah, then you follow that in every aspect. That where's the evidence of what this person is trying to instill inside society? Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, upon this verse, he extracts 10 different extractions to prove his point that this person is a wicked scholar. In his book, Al-Amthal, fil Quran al-Karim, speaking about the parables, extracts 10 different proofs to show that this person, it deserves this punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tahmil alayhi, whether you come and you warn this individual, is going to remain inside the same state. That's what some of the ulama tafsir, they mention the verses inside the Quran, that those individuals, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It makes no difference whether you warn them or you don't warn them. It's still the same. They're not going to pay heed. They're not going to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You call them towards guidance, they're not going to turn back to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ مَثُلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. That is a parable of a people who rejected our signs. فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Look at Allah concludes. Narrate these stories about this person, about this actual individual, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, that may ponder and reflect. Sadi Tafsir, he mentioned that when you use parables inside your speech, it has a great impact. That's what Quran gives the speech and gives the parable a greater impact. That a person who carries out their conduct in this manner, this is what this individual, the simile of this individual is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَاءَ مَثَلِ الْقَوْمُ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَأَنفُسَهُمْ كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ. What an evil example this is. Of all those people who reject the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Tabari ibn Kathir mentioned, expose themselves to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُدْلِلْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Whoever Allah guides is a rightly guided individual. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends astray, that individual is a losing individual. Does Ibn Taymiyyah, he highlights in various works, he speaks about the individual may have used his faculties to gain this knowledge, may have exerted their efforts to gain this knowledge. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who affirms the knowledge inside one's heart. So as a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and protection, person shouldn't become full of themselves. Shouldn't think that I'm a righteous, I'm a pious person, I'm a good person, or I deserve this to be given to me, or I'm going to be entering into paradise. Person should be wary and seek his assistance to obey him and not rely upon oneself. That's what Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah highlights in various works that we should be doing inside our lives. وَمَنْ يَحْدِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُضِلٍ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is no one who can misguide that individual. And then we find, unfortunately, the conclusion here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that what is the state of the masses of mankind? وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Indeed, we've destined the masses of human beings and the masses of the jinn to enter into Jahannam. For what reason? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they got no feelings, no perceptions, no knowledge, no understanding. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have faculties to see, but they can't begin to see. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have hearing, but they don't seem to hear the right things, hear the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ. But these people are far more astray. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They're heedless people. And just as we mentioned that the people think that the powers that we have is something that's going to help us, there's a small element of truth inside that. But what's the real power? Allah mentions it. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Allah speaks about these people, about their accurate understanding of this world and what they profess and what they have and what they own. Allah says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They know everything about this world. So when we fall into that cliche that we need to move with them, as the world moves in the 21st century, we move with them. We move as fast as them. Then what does Allah conclude? وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. But in your journey of moving fast, you lose the vision of al-akhirah. You're ghafilun, you're heedless. They don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they mock. Even whatever is taking place in the world should be enough for a normal person to reflect and for a normal person to think. Because why? There is a conviction in certain people. A conviction, a protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that remains for eternity. It remains there for certain people. Allah will always preserve and protect certain people, and certain sanctuaries will always be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those sanctuaries are there. The haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be protected. The haram al-Makki, haram al-Madani. And likewise, the haram of al-Aqsa that we find is a protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's over there, that will remain there. And that's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep that covering and that protection, and to alleviate the hardship of the people that are there, that they're standing in the forefront for our sake. For us, they're standing there with intention to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.